Friday here on KKXX, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5. This is Story Tip, back live again here in the studios. And joining us by remote location is your host, the founder of Christ Today, Curtis Smith. Curtis, say hello to our
wonderful listeners.
Hello,
everyone. It's good to be on the air with you guys.
We've missed you.
Missed you, too. I've been up at Richardson Springs where some crazy things have been happening. We've got Bethel, 300 students every couple of days coming up here, and Sunday night we had a miracle. I love miracles, don't you, Tori?
Yes.
The miracle that I've always heard of is gold fillings in people's mouths, and I've often questioned because I've never really seen it, and I saw it Sunday night. A lady from our team, from the staff team, one of the staff teams up here, needed a gold filling, had been crying out to God for a tooth, had been praying for one, had been needing some dental work, and she prayed and asked God for a gold filling or for some manifestation of his presence within her mouth so that her teeth wouldn't hurt, and Sunday night she got a gold filling.
That's incredible.
It wasn't a small molar, it was a big molar. It was a big gold filling.
Wow.
So I was really taken by surprise, but that goes to show how miraculous of a God we have.
He can do anything.
Yes, he can. And I'm glad to be back on the air. It's been a couple of weeks. I've been up here working, helping out, doing volunteer projects. I'll be gone for a while, but I'm on the air with you guys today, and I'm looking forward to having a good hour. So I want to say hello to our guest. Hello, Tom.
How are you doing there, Curtis?
Doing good. Excellent. So, Tom, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about who you are? Just give us a little bit about your testimony. We'll be glad to hear what you have to say.
All right. I'll try to make it short and sweet, but I just want to say hello to everyone, and thank God for this opportunity. Real quick background. I am originally from California. I went to school here in Chico from 88 to 89, and then joined the Air Force, and after that traveled, spent 20 years in the military, different places. Eventually retired in Florida, and at that time tried to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Became difficult, and the Lord put it upon my heart to seek Him, and that's what I decided to do. Enrolled at Liberty University, seeking my bachelor's degree, because I never did think about school, never did want to go to school, but I wanted to learn about God, and that's what I did. I finished that recently, this past May, graduated, and am now seeking my master's degree, trying to find my way, trying to find out exactly what God wants me to do for Him. So, yielding to Him.
Which is very important as a Christian, would you not say that, Tom?
Oh, I think it's a priority. I mean, you have to give your will to the Lord and set yourself aside in order to for Him to work through you.
That's right. Submitting yourselves to Christ so that the enemy flees and doesn't have a room in your life, so that the Lord can do in you and through you what He wants to do.
Amen.
Right on. So let's continue.
Well, the issue that I wanted to be able to speak to people about Christ. I wanted to be able to talk and answer questions and minister, but I didn't want to provide the wrong information. I didn't want to stumble. I didn't want to have to constantly be going to the Word or saying, I'll get back with you in a week to find an answer. I wanted to seek God so that I could provide His answers to people sound, doctrinal and truthful based on His holy Word. So that's where and what led me to seeking a degree in religion. I wasn't seeking money. I wasn't seeking fame, fortune. I wanted answers, and I wanted to become and grow closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For that sole purpose. And that kind of is where I am today.
That's good news.
Yeah, looking for people to share, finding a ministry, whether it's evangelizing, whether it's teaching, preaching. I'm here just to do exactly what He wants me to do, and today this is speaking to you guys, which is a blessing.
We're glad to have you on there.
Oh, and I greatly appreciate it.
So what have been some things, some experiences or some challenges that you have faced in your growing closer to the Lord or in your seeking Him? What have been some things that you found as challenges where the enemy has tried to come in, but where God has given you strength at the same time to overcome some of these challenges? You want to discuss some of those?
I could do that.
Sure.
I guess the biggest challenge that I've faced was in my marriage. I can honestly say I'm a sinner, without a doubt, and I've done things, that obviously God denounces. Adultery for number one. When I walked away, it was a slow process. Sin creeped into my life slowly, and before I knew it, I had completely turned my back. I had faith. I knew that there was a God. I knew that Christ died for me and for my sins, but at the same time, I was living for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I let lust of the flesh, I let pride take a front seat in my life, and I let the world become my God, so to speak. I put God on the back burner, and I found that when you do that, God is going to correct, and in a mighty way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what He did. He put a conviction on my heart for what I was doing. I found my life falling apart. I found that, I was seeking a relationship with other people. I was seeking a relationship elsewhere, and I needed to find God first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what He spoke to me, is, I am your priority. I am number one. Seek me first, and everything else will fall into place. Relationships will fall into place. I did that, and I repented, and put God first. I submitted my will to Him, and from that, I am following.
Praise God.
So, things have definitely worked out. God has, definitely answers prayers, and He has definitely made a difference, a profound difference in my life, even though I made mistakes. And the guilt that your actions do can have consequences lasting consequences in your life, and it can put you in a pretty dark place.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place that I saw a light was in the church. Mm-hmm. And doing that, giving, letting go, seeking God, putting Him first, and just getting rid of that, of the sin in my life, God has been merciful. Grace, He's given me grace. He's given me a new life again. And mm-hmm. I just praise Him, give Him the glory each and every day for everything, knowing that it's not me, Speaking of the school,
mm-hmm.
I originally had no interest in school after I graduated, so much so that it hurt me in my career in the Air Force, because I didn't seek education like I should have. They're pushing education, and eventually you can get up to a certain rank, and from that point on, they look at your past, your accomplishments, and not having sought an education stifled me, and it basically put me at a position where I couldn't go any further. So getting out of the Air Force and going to school was obviously a big change, and I didn't have the Montgomery GI Bill that they offered because I didn't choose it, but by the grace of God, they made a change to that, which allowed me the opportunity to have that. And it's like God set the path from the very beginning so that I would be where I am. And I see that, and I acknowledge Him for that. It's a miracle, really.
His grace being revealed to you, right?
Oh, my goodness. More and more every day. But mm-hmm. by that, I mean, that was profound. It was life-changing. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't explain it and put it into words that could make sense to anyone, but you know when you know that God has been looking out for you each and every day, each and every step you take, whether it's on his path or on your own, he still looks out for you. You know, he mm-hmm. still is there. He never forsakes.
No,
you know?
Never.
All we have to do is seek.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there, and he answers. He answers in glorious ways.
He's even there when we're not seeking him, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen. That's a fact.
And it's only by his grace that we're kept, even though we sin, we're kept no longer classified as a sinner. We're saved by grace. So because of his grace, we can now call ourselves a saint because we have his righteousness, we have what he's given us, but at the same time, knowing that we're not close to him or knowing that we're not putting him first or not allowing him to be all that he wants to be in our life, that can be quite detrimental to us, can it not?
Oh, yes. I think that's one of the an issue that we have is not looking, you know, not seeking, putting ourselves first. You know, that's one of the biggest problems I see now is the selfishness and the self-righteousness of the secular society.
Wouldn't you say that stems from pride?
Number one, pride, without a doubt. Pride is a funny thing, and we don't, I think a lot of the time we don't necessarily recognize it as pride. Even in relationships, when you're dealing with issues and problems with people, a lot of the reason why we can't get past a fight or an argument is because of pride. It's, you know, we stand up too prideful and too big to admit fault and to admit wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you know that you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
you still, out of spite and out of pride, won't do it. And I think if people recognized and if you humble yourself enough to put someone else above you, no matter who it is, always put them above you, then falling into that trap becomes a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
And
look to Jesus, look out for others, and then look for look to yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And ourselves, taking care of ourselves, you know, the only thing that we need to do to take care of ourselves is to recognize our Creator.
Keep our eyes on him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we run into issues and problems with, along with the whole pride issue and the selfishness, is recognizing the Creator. You know, God put witness in his creation.
Mm-hmm.
The earth, the beautiful birds, you know, the sky, the clouds, the sun, you know, the warmth. When you step out of your house and feel that warmth, and how could you not recognize that was God?
I think a lot of times we don't take time to recognize God first. We put God on the back burner due to either being busy or a lot of things getting in our way that we forget to. We forget to seek him. You know, every morning if we wake up, we say, you know, we should at least acknowledge him. And even if we don't have time to get in the Word or pray, we should at least acknowledge him and ask him to lead us and guide us throughout the day. And then sometime during the day, find a time to let him speak to us. And I think we don't do that. We tend to be the ones that end up getting on the throne or getting on the seat of our life or the driver's seat, trying to say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. And it may not even be what God has planned or intended for us. But at the same time, we're not focusing because we're so busy or so caught up in other stuff that we're forgetting God. Not that he's not there, we're forgetting him, and because we're forgetting him, we're falling into some awfully deep pits, and then we want to cry out to him and ask him for his help when he's like, I was already there helping you, but you took over. You tried to do it, and you wouldn't let me help you. So unless you get out of the way and let me get in the way, how can I help you?
Right, and, you know, that's one of the main issues today is you could call it an idol. You know, whatever takes the place of God is an idol in your life, and whether that's a relationship, whether it's a family, whether it's yourself, money, work, knowledge, wisdom, you know, all these different things can hold a higher place in your life than you give to God.
And when you do that,
yeah, when you do that, that's when you see those problems and issues.
Tori.
Yes.
I'm going to have you take us to break real quick, and then when we come back, I'll let you ask a few questions.
You bet. Let's go ahead and go to break, and we'll come back. Listeners, you're joining us today on Christ Today at KKXX Radio, AM 930 and 104.5. We'll be back right after these messages.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Welcome back, listeners, on Christ Today. We are talking with Tom Buxton. We've got Curtis Smith, who is being remotely piped into us from Richardson Springs. We're so excited that Curtis is back on the show, and we're honored to have you on today's show, Tom.
Thank you.
We're getting real today. And, Tom, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you. I appreciate your honesty, because it is very humbling to come in here like you are on air and confessing, hey, I have sinned, I have fallen short of the glory of God, which we all have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you in what you've done, and by sharing about your life and your testimony, because there's so many Christians out there. Now, the devil wants to make us feel isolated. He wants to make us feel like, hey, we're the only one who struggled through adultery. The truth is, there's a lot of people that are even listening today, Tom, that you're being able to reach that are either contemplating having extramarital affairs or are currently in them as we speak. And this is the Lord calling out to those. And by your example, you know, the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And the neatest thing, if we can think back to Jesus and the lady that was caught in adultery, brought before him, and he said, well, you guys that are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You go ahead and do that. So, you know, now, Tom, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, Jesus said to the lady, when she looked up, she said, well, where are your accusers? And she said, well, they left. And, well, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Go and sin no more. Right.
Go and sin no more. I forgive you. You've asked for forgiveness. The Lord will knows our heart, that we've repented, and he will set us in right standing with him, which we are so grateful for that with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be in that situation. A lot of things you got to think about is, like, when you're going through situations, you don't realize that you are hurting other people. A lot of times you just think, okay, well, I'm hurting myself, and you can be okay with that, whether it's drugs or whatever the situation is or the sin is. You know, I think, well, I'm just hurting myself. But when in reality, we're hurting those around us, our family, our wives, our children, our friends, our parents. It goes deeper than that. But that is a cover-up of the devil to make us feel like that. And then once we are caught in our sin, or the guilt comes, which comes from not only the Holy Spirit laying that upon our heart, but once it seems like once you go through something, once you do something, then Satan sinks its claws in. I've got you. Ha ha, look at you. Now look what you've done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he turns that on us. So, Tom, thank you for being honest, for being real to people, because you're gonna reach out to people even on this show today and be able to change lives. And that's what this Christ Today program is about, is people like you, Tom, people like me, people like Curtis, who have went through things in our lives and being able to use those things for the glory of the Lord. So thank you, Tom, for sharing with us. What else do you have on your heart for us this morning?
Corey?
Yes, Curtis.
I had a question I wanted to ask Tom real fast.
Go for it.
Tom, in your marriage and the issues that you have with your marriage, do you feel like it was hard for you and that it was easy for you to fall into the sin that you fell into because you didn't love yourself? And because you didn't love yourself, you couldn't receive the love of Christ, and without the love of Christ, it's hard to love anybody. Did you feel that?
Well, you know, I don't know if it was a self-loathing more than it was being caught up in a lust, you know, a lustful relationship, seeking self-gratification. And then, you know, Satan uses that, puts his hooks in you, and then, you know, we all have that carnal nature, mm-hmm. that stems, you know, from way back. I mean, we all have that sin in us, and you know, you don't necessarily go out and seek it, you don't look for it, you don't try to do it, but once it just creeps in slowly, it becomes consuming, you know, mm-hmm. and it takes over your life, because mm-hmm. you put your rationale, you put things on the back burner, and you start focusing only on one thing, and that's enjoyment and having fun. And it becomes almost, you know, the secrecy becomes almost a game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those things end. They stop. I mean, it all comes to an end eventually. That's mm-hmm. the point I'm trying to make. And then when things come to an end, that's when you truly realize what was all for. What was it mm-hmm. worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has this done for me in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it did nothing but destroy my life, everything that I knew. Mm-hmm. You know,
when you're getting into destructive behavior,
right?
It's going to destroy it. That's what you're sowing, is destruction. Pornography is destructive behavior. It's destructive yeah. behavior for the people that are caught up in it, for the women that are in it, for the men that are in it, whether they are because of the sex trade or whether they are doing it of their own accord. It is a destructive behavior, and it's an enticement of Satan just a little bit, oh, and then a little bit more, and it becomes easier. And all this is a bait of the roaring lion going mm-hmm. around seeking whom he may devour. All this is little fiery darts of the wicked one. So when those little enticements come along, and then black and white turn to gray, it fades, it numbs your spirit, then it becomes easier and easier, and your spirit becomes numb to the things of God, and then the trap door comes down.
Right.
Well, when you lose your love for God and you lose your love for yourself, you can't help but do anything but hurt others.
Right.
And when you're not in love with God first, and then you're not able to love others and love yourself, other people are going to hurt.
Right.
That's why I asked you if you felt that the lack of love toward you and God is what caused other people. Because other people, you may not necessarily hurt them, but if they see you hurting, they're going to hurt. And actions are going to hurt people. I mean, a lot of times I didn't think I was hurting people, but other people are being hurt by my actions and my emotions and my feelings. And Christ, I don't want to say the word hurt, but his spirit is grieved, because he's sitting there going, I have better for you. I aim better for you for this day. And we're so caught up in ourselves that we could care less.
Right.
And that's why I was asking you about the lack of loving for God and loving yourself, right, is what might have caused you to have, you know, that hurt to have caused the problem in your. That's why that was. Right. That's what I was trying to get to.
Well, I guess when you do look at it that way, that does have something to do with, obviously, you know, because if you had that Christ love in your life, well, you wouldn't hurt the people that are closest to you. You know,
sure.
You wouldn't seek something that you know is destructive.
That's right.
And when you say that it affects yourself, you know, yeah, it affects yourself. But it crushes the spirit of your spouse,
mm-hmm.
Children, family. You know, it hurt. What I did hurt everyone around me. And I realized that, and I realized that after the fact, obviously after the fun and wore off, and I realized that everything went down the drain. My life went down the drain.
Mm.
But you know, I'm blessed to have family that has stuck behind me. I'm mm-hmm. blessed to have people in my lives that saw what I did and recognized that it wasn't. You know, it was me, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but it was also, they recognized the sin and the power that Satan has in destroying relationships, destroying families. And yeah, I've learned from this and come a long way. You know,
Tom, what did you do? You said my life went down the drain.
Right.
At that moment... What did you do? What was your, how did you get back to God? I mean, was there, what was that time? And was there a time of separation? I mean, how, right. What did you do at that moment?
Well, I was married for 12 years. My wife was in the Air Force at the time. She was traveling, doing TDYs, going to, you know, overseas. And I had a job that kept me in place with the Air Force, so I didn't have that, and this was a relationship with a neighbor. It came out,
mm-hmm.
And it was over a couple of years. It came out, and my wife was, you know, said, you know, obviously we can't do this. You know, do you want
right.
me? She would have accepted me back.
Wow.
And I went back, but I kept going back and forth, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm.
I wanted that my family, you know. I wanted my wife. I loved her very much. Still love her, you know. But I also was caught in that web. I
that
wanted
web.
The fun, you know. And in doing that, I lost the house. You know, we ended up selling the house. She, you know, she went on with her life. I ended up staying in the relationship and. For a long time, years, and that relationship started from sin. And even though that happened, I still felt as though I had started something. I had made a commitment, you know, and I wanted to follow through with that. With and I can tell you right now, this is my current wife. And that's where it becomes complicated, because I was confused. I was conflicted. I was seeking God's advice, but at the same time, like a stronghold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what did I do? Because I you know, I'm a kind of a caretaker.
Sure.
I promised, you know, her that, you know, I meant what I said, you know, and I needed to be, show commitment. You know, I said, well, let's get married. You know,
we mm-hmm.
make this right by God is what it was my justification.
Sure.
And then trying to take care. Well, then by doing that, I realized I have now made a promise to God.
Mm.
You see? So the relationship still had its problems. They weren't just going to go away. You know, those problems we're still there. It's not like because we got married, they went away. And it didn't make it right. The relationship wasn't ordained by God. It wasn't created in God. You know, it was created in sin.
Mm-hmm. by the I instead of him.
Exactly. And so now I have a commitment that I feel I made to God to maintain and uphold my promise.
Cool.
But I had a relationship that was difficult to live in, and I sought God, and I got through that knowing, well, you know, what, then you talk about divorce. You know, you can get into divorce then, and that's a whole other can of worms, but I don't believe in it. But I found that, number one, God comes first.
Yes, he does. He should.
And in this relationship of you know, going back and forth between Florida or California or where, whatever the case may be, I found that I needed to put God first, period. No matter what, he came first. And, I, you know, you can't say, well, God, do I get a divorce? God's not going to say, yeah, sure, go for it. No, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, that's what you have to go off of. What does the Bible say? What does God say? How does he feel about divorce? You know, no. Nope. So how do I move past? And the only way that I know and have learned to move past is by trusting in God, putting my faith in God, and following his path for me. And his path is here right now. I'm here right now because this is where God wants me. Mm. And unfortunately, my wife is in Florida. She didn't want to move out, didn't want to come out to California. There's a lot of background there. But, you know, I pray for her daily, you know, and I speak to her. But I know and she knows that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and that's share the word and minister as much as possible. And it's a difficult situation. I mean, even now it's a difficult situation, but I can honestly say that I am following as best as possible, you know, and living as best as possible.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, Tom, you know, you went to Bible school for a reason. You
right.
studied at Liberty University, and you learned quite a bit of stuff. Why don't we move on to another topic?
All righty. Sounds good.
And why don't we talk about something that bears on your heart or is you're dealing with today, or is something maybe God has revealed to you or something that you feel that you that you personally would like to share with the listeners?
Well, I guess one area that's in the forefront right now is everyone talks about the end of days, the end of times, you know, Armageddon, that sort of thing. You have the biblical blood moons, the tetrad, mm-hmm. You know, the Jewish holidays, the feasts, a lot of expectation and a lot of things leading up to an expectation. And, you know, I followed a lot of writers, books, pastors, preachers, and did my own research, you know, looked into Daniel, Revelation, and sought, you know, prayed,
mm-hmm.
you know, for guidance and, following what has happened, and you're familiar with these different things, following what has happened has led up to an anticipation. And where did that anticipation go? People say, well, you saw this, and this was supposed to happen, this was supposed to happen, this was supposed to happen. And it's not necessarily that this was supposed to happen. It's that these are signs that God has given us to, you know, see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I look at it, you know. Things are getting tough. They're not, you know, things are getting tough out there, and it's about praying for our nation. Praying for
Amen.
The church.
That's right.
And praying,
exactly.
for,
praying for Israel, peace of Jerusalem.
Exactly. So, you know, I stay up with the current events, you know, watching the UN, you know, the news on the UN with the Pope, with Netanyahu today, Abbas, you know, for the Palestine. And, you know, all it is keeping at the forefront and seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about, being knowledgeable. You know, God wants us to learn. He wants us to see, and he will reveal things to us as we go day by day.
Yeah. So when the word says, when you hear peace, peace, peace,
right,
then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Right.
So as we move closer to the new world order,
right,
we can look and be looking for that.
Right.
That is a part of peace, world peace, new
right.
world order.
Right.
And bringing that together for the revealing of the Antichrist.
Right. Right.
So we're getting close. I mean, I never thought I'd graduate high school, Tom.
Right. Right.
But here I am, 47, and it's never been closer than it is now. I mean, you can see. So, you know, whether it's this year or next year or 5 years or 10 years or 100 years, no man knows the day nor the hour, but it's never been closer than it is. And if we stay up with current events like you're talking about, it's undeniable that we are definitely living in the last days.
Right. The biggest thing is knowing that it's close and knowing that, hey, I need to reach people.
Right.
I need people to understand this and just know that, you know, things aren't right. You know, the world's not right. The priorities are wrong. You know, sin runs rampant. And there is someone that loves you. And that's the biggest thing. Is there's someone that loves you and that can make your life the way your life was meant to be from the beginning. And recognizing that and giving the glory to God and to our Savior Jesus Christ for everything that he's done for us. Urgency. That's something that has been on my spirit for a long time. Urgency, urgency. What is the urgency? Mm-hmm. You know, there is an urgency that needs...
Time is of the essence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And time is of the essence right now, actually, Curtis and Tom. We need to take another break here and hear from our sponsors that we're so grateful for that help keep Christ Today on the air. So we'll take a little break and we'll be right back with Tom Buxton.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurance is accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today. We appreciate you tuning in with us every Saturday morning here on KKXX Radio, 930 AM, 104.5 FM here in Chico, California. We're talking today with Tom Buxton, and remoting in with Curtis Smith, your host. And Curtis, you are the founder of Christ Today, really.
Started it a year ago.
And I'm Tori Tipp, and it's a privilege and honor to be on the air with these fine gentlemen. Curtis, go ahead and you have something there for Tom. We were talking about...
Yeah, Tom, you and I in the beginning had talked about unity.
Right.
And more so than ever, we need to really focus on unity within the body. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, I think unity is a priority within the church, within the body of Christ. You know, Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. We are the parts that make up that body, and we all have a specific function. You know, within that body, just mm-hmm. like, you know, and the Bible talks about it. You know, you have a hand, you have a foot, you know. Unity is something that it grows and it spreads and it forms a cohesion. And a problem that I see is that unity amongst people, amongst members, amongst interfaiths, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm not talking about, pluralism or inclusivism or anything like that, but I mean unity within the body itself, the members, you know. And I guess a lot of it has to do with being faithful and true to your word, and being faithful and true to God, and standing strong, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
And being reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Not being a flake. Let's just put it that way. You know,
a lot of flakiness in the church, huh?
Exactly.
As Pastor Melvin would call it, corn flakiness in the church.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, if people recognize Christ is the head, number one, in that we all have positions, right? We all have strengths. We have spiritual gifts that are given to us that we use in unity to form a well-oiled machine. You know what I mean? And I kind of use the analogy of a typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
You have an author, right, that makes a masterpiece and has his typewriter, and you know he's going at it, you know, writing as fast as he can go, and pulls out the sheet of paper, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, but it only takes one of those keys to be malfunctioning somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that leave, you know, as far as a finished piece? It's an unfinished piece.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And in the church, it's the same way. When you have a church body, you know, we need everybody to work together. We need everybody to come together. We need everybody to value each other in love, in
mm-hmm.
caring, in kindness. And in doing so, you build up the church. You build up Christ. You know, you bring honor, you bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, that's our job. And not to nitpick over little things, because within the church you see, you know, infighting or problems with this and this. And what you need to do is concentrate on God, on the congregation, you know, and on bringing that unity together, instead of being undecisive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an issue that I feel, you know, that
we as the body need to allow Christ to become the center of all relationships.
Exactly.
And if Christ was the center of all relationships, we would see unity more than we do.
Exactly.
And as we're getting closer to the end, no matter how long it is. No, because I still believe there's a few more things that God's going to do before he returns.
Sure.
So before this happens, I believe that God's calling his body to stand up and be in unity like never before. So one of the things that causes disunity is division.
Right.
And one of the things that causes division is denomination.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to stop focusing on what denomination we're a part of and start focusing on the fact that we're a part of the body and come under the head, which is Jesus Christ, and come together, like the Bible said, come let us reason together, and to grow together and to be strong like never before, just like other faiths are becoming. I mean, we hear a revival going on in China, we hear a revival going on in other places. I believe that it could happen here if we would come out of the box, out of the comfort zone, come together, unified in Christ. I believe we could see what God wants to see done right here in America. Would you not agree?
Oh, I agree totally. You know, we were just talking about that this last week, my dad and myself, about revival and about how something like that starts. You know, of course, it begins with the Holy Spirit working through the church, but it takes some effort. You know, we have the means to start the fire. You know, we just need to step out and let it take hold.
Mm-hmm.
Unity, when you speak of unity, you know, one of the things that is that we need to concern ourselves with is the Bible. You know, living, following, reading, praying on God's Word.
Yep.
The Bible. And focusing on those core principles. You know, for the New Testament church, love.
Love is important.
Right.
Love is key for unity to even begin.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the two commandments that Jesus gave, love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
With love, nothing can fail. You know, but it takes the unity. It takes the unity of everyone to, number one, believe.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, follow that guidance and direction. And, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit's sanctification to work through us to keep us on the straight and narrow path. And if we did that and we loved, you know, a lot of the corruption, well, there wouldn't be corruption, number one. There wouldn't be greed. You know, there wouldn't be a lot of the things that happen in society today would be quelled if everyone followed those general guidelines. You know, loving.
Coming to a point where we submit ourselves and lay ourselves down before Christ and let Him take over and let Him be our life as He's always wanted to be our life, so that He can get the job done through us that He wants to get done in His last days, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Tori, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm just
Tori, you have
enjoying
anything
it.
You want to say before we... we've got a few minutes. We're running out of time, but actually we have a little bit of time. So do you have anything that you want to say or that you want to address?
Well, the Holy Spirit has been moving on not only me, but a lot of others as well, that the unity in the church needs to come together. So we don't just say that, hey, I am Lutheran, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Protestant, I'm, you know, United Methodist, or whatever denomination that we are affiliated with, but to become together in Christ, Christ the head of the church, and then we are His body. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we can't have different churches, but we need to stop focusing on what we disagree on and focus on what we agree on and celebrate that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, and no one goes to the Father but through Him. And to encourage one another, that to help others find what we did. Somebody had to witness to us. Somebody let it, whether we are born into it by the grace of God in our own families, or whether someone witnessed to us and shared the love of Jesus and shared the plan of salvation, the gospel to us, and then we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But in this time of urgency and what Satan, the world, and the media would try to cover up and to suppress at this time, but this mm-hmm. is a time to really dig in and choose this day whom you will serve.
Exactly.
And
right.
Then
and
go out, go after the things of God. Get mm-hmm. on your knees, humble yourselves before the Lord, and just get real with Him. You know, ask Him, what would you have me do, Father? If you open up the doors, Father God, I'll walk through them. I'll go where you would have me go. I'll do what you would have me to do. I'll say what you would have me to say. And then listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, even as you're driving around Chico. Had the opportunity to minister to several homeless people and lead them to the Lord. And so God doesn't look on your car. He doesn't look on the house you live in. He looketh upon the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that person on the street, a lot of them are more saved and in a better position for the returning of Christ than a lot of people that are
in the church,
well-to-do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, are been blessed enough to have a job, have a house, have a family, and have everything seemingly going for them. But the real issue is the heart and your relationship with Jesus. And the Lord has allowed things, and I believe in your life, Curtis, in my life, and in Tom's life, and many lives of our listeners to happen. He's allowed those things to happen. We got to a point, we made a decision, we found ourselves in a pit of our own despair, but God still loved us. He still welcomed us back. He still has open arms. So I think, if anything, for the listeners today, you have not gone too far. I think week after week, we have testimonies of people that have been through situations, who have fallen and then come back and been able to receive the Lord's grace upon our lives, His forgiveness, and His restoration. And so we do this as a witness to those that are hurting and feeling like they've gone too far, they're not good enough, they'll never be good enough, and God has abandoned them, and that is the furthest from the truth. He has not abandoned us, but He is ever ready with open arms to receive Him, receive you back, or to receive you as His child, to welcome you into the kingdom, and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who paid the price once and for all mankind. So we have so much to be grateful for.
It's also important, too, Tori, that people recognize God's not mad at them. He's mad about them. He's mad in love with them. He's mad.
That's good, Curtis.
He's not mad at you. He loves you.
Amen.
And He's not going to look down on you. He is so compassionate, so caring. And, you know, instead of us looking at what's coming, let's look about what God wants to do right now, right here, today. You know, one of the things that I'm recognized this week with these people here from Bethel is they were talking about, what is God calling us to do? Where is God leading us? I mean, there's revival happening, and it can happen here. And one of the things I heard was a guy who somehow, some way, through Bethel, through the computer, somehow he connected with a rock and roll star and delivered him some Christian information. I don't know exactly how he did it, but the rock and roll star is paying for him to fly back and be his mentor. The guy's not even a Christian, but he's wanting this man who's a Christian to mentor him.
Praise the Lord.
I believe that God's looking for us to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? And then quiet ourselves, be willing to hear what He's speaking to us, step out and do it.
Amen.
And not do it on our own, because we can't do it on our own, but do it with Him.
Curtis and Tom, I love what you just said there, Curtis. When I've been driving around, sometimes you're in a busy, you're trying to get to places, right? And I'll see someone along the road, or maybe somebody is in need or holding a sign, and I might say little prayers like, God, I'd ask you to bless those people today. Oh, help them, Lord, with their car. And what I'm hearing is, I sent you.
Right.
I sent you.
Right.
Yeah, you're that person. And I'm like, oh.
Right.
It means I got to stop my day,
right,
and turn around and go back and show the love of Christ.
Right.
I sent you. And so that's what He's saying to us at this point. We are the hands and feet of the church. And God gave Jesus. Jesus went about doing good. And we're to do likewise. We are to do the works that Jesus did, and even greater works through that Holy Spirit. So when you feel that leading of the Lord, I encourage our listeners to submit to that and, you know, use wisdom.
Yep.
Totally use wisdom.
Yeah. Women, don't stop and pick up guys and try to help them unless, you know, you really know that you should. But so you really got to watch
Make
that.
Make sure you
so,
have somebody
yeah,
with you
right,
in that matter.
And vice versa, guys. Be careful about women, but we can still help. Just be led by the Holy Spirit.
Totally. Well, Tom, in these last few moments that we have another 5 minutes. In these last few moments, is there anything else that you want to directly talk to the listeners and lay something that maybe God has given you on your heart? Lay it to them. Share it with them. Is there something that you feel that you want to leave with them in these last 5 minutes?
Well, the biggest thing is to, you know, it's never too late. It's not too late, you know. No matter how bad things are, no matter how bad you feel that you are, or you know, how much sin you have in your life, you know, God's calling. He's knocking at the door, and all you have to do is answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple, you know. And I'm not promising, and I never, you know, a perfect life. You know, you it is a perfect life in the sense that, you know, you will gain, you know, salvation and you have Christ in your life. But things are not always going to be a cakewalk.
No.
You know, and that's what people sometimes think. Well, you know, if I do this, then everything's going to be perfect. And then they do it and then find out it's not all perfect. But mm-hmm. it's not about being perfect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having faith, trusting and knowing that God is there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And,
true.
You know, things don't just end instantly. You know, your life goes on. But mm-hmm. it goes on in a peace that you could never imagine, you know, an ease of the spirit, you know. It's just taking that step, you know, getting out of the way, getting yourself out of the way, getting your head out of the way, your pride out of the way, and taking that step, you know, seeking something that you know is there and is calling. And you won't be disappointed.
Praise God.
Tom, would you be willing to close out today's broadcast in prayer?
I would love to.
Please go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for each breath that we get to take, the time that we get to spend together as a community, the unity that you have brought. I thank you for giving me this special opportunity, and I ask that your blessing go out to each and every person listening to Curtis, Tori, that you continue to bless, that you continue to touch, that you continue to work in the lives of your people. Soften the hearts, allow them to see, give them the eyes to see and the ears to hear. We give you the glory, give you the praise each and every day. In your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Listeners.
All right. Well, listeners, Tori and I are going to sign off and tell you we'll look forward to talking to you again or talking at you again next week with our special guest in the studio whom we don't know it's going to be yet. So those of you out there that can pray that we have a guest next week. And if we have anybody in mind that you want to have on the show or that you can think of that would be a good guest, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know. And in the process, we're going to let you go, and we will talk to you next week.
Curtis,
all right, Tori, I'm out.
You bet. Hey, Curtis, I want to go ahead and give our listeners the address here. So if they would like to write Christ Today, and maybe the show has touched your life or someone that you know, or if you have any comments or for us, please write KKXX Radio here at 1363 Longfellow Avenue, Chico, California, 95926. And we look forward to seeing you next week. If the Lord tarries, we'll be here, right, Curtis?
Well, I believe it's going to tarry for a while, so I believe we'll be back next week. But if not, we'll see you in heaven.
All right.
Amen.
Sounds good. Thank you
so
much.
Bye-bye.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today. Desperate.